Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14, and can be found on page 1140 of the Church Bibles. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. This is the word of the Lord.
Reading is in Matthew chapter 24, page 994 in the Church Bible, beginning at verse 36. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this: if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. It's a real joy to be with you this morning. My question: are you ready? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come at the beginning of this season of Advent, asking for your wisdom for us. We ask this morning that you would open your word to us, that we would discern your presence among us, and that we would be ready to follow you. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you ready? It's the obvious question at this time of year. Are you ready for celebrating the first coming of Jesus? Presents bought, wrapped, food planned, parties planned, pantomimes planned. Are you ready? But I want to extend the question a little this morning to ask you, not are you ready, but are you ready for something new? Are you ready for something new? Now, that's a much riskier question, because the run-up to Christmas and Christmas itself is a time when we retreat into our traditions And woe betide anybody who makes changes to our valued traditions. Whether that's what you eat, or maybe what you wear, or the routines that you have, woe betide anyone changing anything. But are you ready for something new? Are you ready for things to change? Are you ready for some disruption to your normal rhythms of life? And maybe now you're wishing that somebody else was preaching this morning, or that you were with the children in the parade or doing something else, because we don't like being asked questions about change and disruption and doing things differently. But I want to remind you, you know it well, that God is a God who does new things. The amazing passages in Isaiah. We know probably Isaiah 43:19 by heart. You may not realize you do, but if I just begin it, you can say it with me. Forget the former things. Do not dwell in the... See, I am doing a new thing. This is what our God is like. He does new things, and he asks us to be ready to discern what he is doing, so that we might not go along our usual well-worn paths of familiarity, but to be ready to do something new with him. Our gospel reading this morning from Matthew 25 asks us to think about Noah and the flood. We know the story so well, don't we? God spoke to Noah, build a boat. And he did. And onto this boat, he took his family, and I guess some of those from his household, and some animals. And this boat was sitting in a car park on dry land. It was as if it was just out here on the car park. And people who walked by, assuming they noticed it, lots of people wouldn't have noticed it because they were going about their normal everyday routine. Those who noticed it would have made fun of it. Hey, look what those crazy people at Meadgate are doing. You'll never believe it. There's a blooming great boat in the car park. What on earth is going on? That was, of course, until the rains came and the flood rose and the boat floated and others were washed away. A little glimpse of God wanting to bring salvation to his world, modelled with one family or one group of people in one place at one time. But the discernment, what's going on? Is this Noah being a complete idiot, or is this God at work? But notice also the comment about the people in Noah's day, eating and drinking, getting ready for Christmas, marrying, giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. There was a sense of busyness in the world, and that sense of busyness is the one that we need to guard against so much, because if we are busy doing our own thing and going about our normal routines, the likelihood is we will miss what God is doing. Are you ready for something new? Of course, now, the salvation that was offered in such a limited way to Noah and his entourage is now, through Jesus, offered to absolutely everyone. There are no limits on the salvation that Jesus has brought to this earth. Everyone can be included if we wish. There are no limits in heaven. It's not 144,000. Trust me, it's unlimited. It's available for everybody. And even though it's going to be without limit, every person there will feel as if they are next to, right in front of, Jesus and the Father. Are you ready? Now, this passage in Matthew begins, if you've got one of those Bibles where the words of Jesus are in red, makes it quite difficult to read, doesn't it? But the words in red stretch back, not just from where we've read from verse 36, but right back to the beginning of Matthew 24. And the context given for the passage is the temple in Jerusalem. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to call his attention to its buildings. "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "Truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." That was scandalous news for the Hebrew people of God. Because the temple in Jerusalem was the sign that everything was okay. Lots of normal life revolved around the temple. It wasn't just worship. It was a mega community centre, Meadgate on steroids, if you like. Everything happened there, and the security of the temple mirrored, if you like, the security of the people of God. As long as the temple was there, then God is in his heaven and we are okay. Of course, it was a short-sighted view. Had they looked back, they would have known that there were times of exile for the Hebrew people of God when Jerusalem had been ransacked and the temple destroyed. And actually, we know, looking forward just 70 years or so from this incident, the temple was destroyed again. Was God removed from his people? No, of course he wasn't. But where do we put our security? If we truly have absorbed the message of the first Christmas, of Jesus who is Emmanuel, Jesus who is the one who is with us, we don't need a temple. We don't need a building. We don't need anything, ultimately, other than his presence with us. But is that really where we put our security? Because I don't know about you, I rather like my family traditions. I like the routines. It makes me feel at home. But the danger is, if we stick with what we know, we might miss what God is doing. Here were people going about their everyday work. Two men in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. I think the image that I've always had of those couple of verses is that when Jesus comes again, suddenly there will be people who disappear because they've been taken up into paradise. But I wonder if there might this... You can ignore this. This may be heresy. I wonder if there's another way of looking at it. Two people going about their everyday business, absorbed in what they're doing, don't notice Jesus saying, "Come with me. Come with me." And therefore the one who stays is the one who did not notice. Wouldn't that be sad? Oh, that we might be those who look at the ark, who look at things that surprise us and unnerve us, who look at some of the tragedies that befall us. I'm struck on the news in recent months, it seems recent to me, when something happens that causes a particular change to somebody's life, the newscaster will talk about life-changing injuries. And I don't know whether that's a new phrase. It's one that has I've only become aware of recently. As if having our lives changed is always a bad thing. Yes, being injured so we can't do what we normally do is a bad thing. But does that remove God from our lives? Maybe there's still an avenue for vocation and development and happiness. Maybe actually God can be found in the life-changing things that happen to us. Losing our jobs, losing a loved one. You see, these aren't the worst things that can happen to a Christian. The worst thing that can happen as a Christian is that we lose sight of Jesus, who is God with us. So are we ready? Not are we ready to celebrate Jesus' first coming, but are we ready for Jesus to call us home? Are we ready for him to disrupt our plans and to bring us something new? Are we ready to be taken or to let go? What is it that stands in the way? And how can we be ready? The few verses that we heard read from Romans chapter 13 might help us. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. And so the invitation in Advent, the invitation for every day of our lives, is: are we ready for something new? Are we willing to step out of the shadows and the darkness into the light of Christ? Our Advent candles are drawing us more and more into the light, week by week, until we light again the candle on Christmas Day, commemorating Jesus with us. It's a routine that's worth continuing to do, even though the candle has been alight for 2,000 years and ain't going to be blown out any day soon. Routines are helpful to us to remind us. Are we ready for something new? God grant that you and I are ready, that we notice where he is at work and we join in and don't miss it because we're so busy doing our own thing. May we be those who are Advent people and ready. Amen.